Hey guys, welcome to the Good Warfare Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Alfaro, and this is the place where we will uncover life lessons from the Bible and insights for everyday life, sharing reflections from our monthly book club picks and exploring how to live out our faith in the workplace. In today's episode, which happens to be the first episode of this podcast, we're going to be talking about what is confidence in God. There are two types of confidence. We have the first being worldly confidence, while the second is confidence in God. And with what bar do we usually measure confidence? Well, it depends on where our focus is. But if we're not careful, we usually use the standards society has set, which are the number of degrees or initials next to our names. If we have a high-paying job, the type of car we drive, if we get to travel every year, if we have the perfect physique, the perfect home in the perfect neighborhood with a beautiful spouse and children. You get my point. When our self-confidence is focused entirely on ourselves and the standards the world has set, we will always fall short and feel low because we may never have all those things. And striving to achieve those things is not necessarily bad, but it is when it becomes our center focus because we are living to serve self rather than Christ, who is the source of life. Now, side note, throughout this episode, I have sprinkled lots of Bible verses. I'm hoping that you can spot them all. The one from the source of life can be found in John 1:4. You can also look at John 6:35, 2 Peter 1:4. End of side note. Anyway, when we've established our confidence in God, we are not concerned with those standards the world has set because we have different standards. Our standards are in who God is, who God says we are, in other words, our identity in Christ, and what God has done for us. So let's look at what the Bible says about confidence in God. We'll look at an example found in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So please turn to your Bibles or just follow along. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 9 says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Let's recap what we just read. So in verses 9 through 12, we are shown a Pharisee who looked towards men to set his standard of confidence. In his prayer, he praised himself for his good deeds and for not being like others. Yet, in God's eyes, he was not justified. His self-righteousness is like a filthy rag to God. And we can read about that in Isaiah 64:6. And again, from the New King James Version, it says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Not only was he looking at himself, but he was also judging others. He was paralleling Satan, who is the accuser of our brethren. It says in Revelation 12:10, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." In contrast to the Pharisee, in verse 13, we have the tax collector who, at a distance from others and while measuring his confidence against God's standards, beat his breast and considered himself a sinner. Notice how he didn't accuse others, but was consumed with his own guilt, and because of that, was repenting and seeking forgiveness. And he left justified, in other words, blessed and forgiven. For another example of confidence in the Bible, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 26, verses 32 through 34, and we're going to look at Peter now. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And so said all the disciples." So here we have Jesus giving a warning to his disciples before his betrayal. In overconfidence, Peter replies in verse 33, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." And immediately after this, we see his self-confidence once again in verse 35, after Jesus told him that he would deny Jesus three times. "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And we know what happens next. Peter fell into temptation, denied Jesus, and wept bitterly. So you see, Peter set his confidence in the flesh instead of realizing that he could fall into temptation. What he should have done is been sober and vigilant and in prayer, asking for a way out so that he could have endured. Let's look at what 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And let's also look at what 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, he who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." During that time that he was weeping bitterly, as the Bible says, he must have repented, because we see his change of heart down the road in John chapter 21 verses 15 through 17. So let's read that really quick. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" So to recap what happens here, Christ is reinstating Peter, asking him three times if he loves him. Peter three times says that yes, he does love him, but notice that his replies to Jesus were humble. He did not compare himself to others like his replies back to Jesus in Matthew 26. This tells us that Peter had a renewed heart. Because of this, God entrusted him with an important task, which was to take care of and feed his sheep. So guys, these examples of confidence in the Bible tell us how we can build and have confidence in God. They illustrate how we can walk in the confidence of God. So let's look at some of the things that we can do to have confidence in God, or build that confidence in God. The order I am sharing these is not equal importance. If anything, all of them are equally important. So just be mindful of that as I share. For starters, we must have no confidence in the flesh. What does this even mean? Well, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Here we have Paul, who had many reasons to be confident in the flesh based on his birth, education, upholding of the law, and zeal, yet counted all these things a loss for Jesus Christ. He knew that to know Christ was better than all these worldly accomplishments or privileges, that knowing Christ had transformed his life for the better, because it is with Christ that we are considered righteous before God. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And when I say that we must have no confidence in the flesh, this also includes not putting our confidence in man. And we can read a little bit more about what it says in Psalm 118, verse 8 through 14, but I'll only read what verse 8 says, which is, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And the next thing we need to do to have confidence in God and build that confidence is to wholeheartedly trust in God and make him our center focus. It is when we trust in the Lord that we shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8. And the third thing we need to do to walk in the confidence of God is to have a broken and contrite heart, like it says in Psalm 51, 17, which says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So when we go to God in humbleness, asking for forgiveness, he will bless and justify us, just like he did with the tax collector. Then he can show us his will and what to do for his kingdom, like he did with Peter and many others in the Bible. This is a huge benefit of having confidence in God. And the last thing we can do to build confidence in God and walk in that confidence of God is to read his word, put it into practice, and pray without ceasing. Remember that his word is our sword, which we can use to fight the attacks of the enemy. And we not only have to read his word, but we have to put our faith into works. Otherwise, our faith is dead. See what it says in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. But I will only read verse 17. His word says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And we cannot be Christians if we don't incorporate prayer into our daily life. It is through prayer where we are found in his will. It is in prayer that we can praise our Heavenly Father, we can avoid temptation, and we can know hidden things, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. We should be like Jesus, who spent so much time in prayer. So at this time, let's pray a prayer of confidence in God. Dear Lord, we come before you asking forgiveness for all our sins. Please forgive all the wrong we've done, and please help us not to continue in sin. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. We ask that you help us to have more confidence in you instead of in ourselves. Please help us not to compare ourselves to the standards of confidence the world has set. Help us to keep you as our daily focus and grow closer to you every day. Please put in us a desire to read your word and to pray. Don't allow us to be consumed by the cares of this world. Help us be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of yours, Lord. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Good Warfare Podcast. I trust that it has ignited a spark in your faith journey, leading you one step closer to God's purpose for your life. If you found value in today's discussion, please consider sharing it with a friend and leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps spread the message of God's hope and truth to others. And remember, if you have any prayer requests or simply want to connect, feel free to reach out via email. Until next time, may God's blessings abound in your life. Take care, and God bless you abundantly.